Welcome to the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, A.P. Fuchs. Stories of intrigue, stories of horror, stories of superheroics, stories of monsters. Get ready, the thrill ride begins. Welcome to a new episode of the realm of heroes and monsters. Storytime with your host, me, glasses, hat, beard, A.P. Fuchs. So, this season, we've been reading from Magic Man plus 15 Tales of Terror. And as it stands at this particular moment, as of this podcast, there's only one more story left in this book. Okay? So, what we're going to do with Magic Man is we're going to put her aside for the next couple episodes. And because that last story is very special for a lot of reasons, and I want to save it for the finale, and I'll get into it as to why and all that stuff at that time. But yeah, so we're going to save the last story of the book that we've been basically covering all season for the final episode of this season. But so this year, or this week, we're going to be reading from an anthology called Rat War. And I have a story in here I was invited to contribute, and it's called Landfill Buffet. So I'll let your mind wander with that a little bit, and you can think about what that might be about. And in the meantime, too, what we're going to be doing as we're sort of wrapping up this season is, one, on my side, I'm going to be doing a review to make sure I got all the stories in that we want to cover for the season, because I want you guys to hear them all. And then, two, I'll give you a, yeah, I'll say it now. For season three coming up, okay, we're going to resume Flash Attack, because we got halfway through on season one, and we're going to finish the other half in season three. What has yet to be determined, though, is the format of the show itself. Season one, first effort podcasting, not a bad format, but you know what, I admit it could have used some improvement. So what I'm going to be doing is, in the meantime, between now and the time of season three, is thinking about the show portion of that particular season of Storytime. So that's coming up. And another cool thing is coming up. I got an email the other day regarding Axiom Man and a special thing that's being created for him. And it'll be a Kickstarter thing. It's going to be awesome. And I don't want to reveal it just yet. I know I've hinted before on other platforms and even through here, I think. But the point is, it's coming up. So stay tuned. So be sure to check out apfuchs.ca on the regular, because there's going to be stuff announced, okay? But anyway, enough rambling, right? We've been at this for a few minutes. Let's get right into story time. So, close your eyes. Think of nasty smells. Think of garbage, grossness, and yuck. And think of a man stuck in a garbage dump. Landfill Buffet. The foul stench of rotting garbage made Nate Wendell throw up for the third time. He was on his back at the bottom of a garbage heap, and the most he could do to let it all out was twist to his right and let it go. He was trapped under an enormous industrial refrigerator, pinning him from the hips down. The thing was massive and weighed a ton. Despite sitting up and trying to move it off his legs, he couldn't make the thing budge. Its door faced the sky, the handle on the side furthest from him. He'd been lying here for 2 days. He'd never been to the city dump before, so could only assume he was in some forgotten corner away from the workers that he heard shouting every so often during daylight hours, always somewhere behind him and off to the right. No one answered his cries for help. Now, it was night, the sky above overcast, a faint glow of gray light covering the garbage dump, making the piles of refuse appear like mountains of coal and volcanic ash. His legs had gone to sleep not long after he came to. If something was broken, he didn't feel it. But there had been this insane, fiery pain rifling through his thighs and shins for a few hours there the other day. Then it faded, and he was just numb, but not from the cold. The chill of the air was welcome, actually. The occasional rush of goosebumps across his skin a reminder he was still alive, and his body still functioned despite the weight on his legs. "You really got yourself into a big mess this time, didn't you?" he whispered to himself. It wasn't supposed to be like this. He'd asked the small payday loan place on the corner for a tiny loan, some $150 so he could buy a nice bike for his daughter. He borrowed the money, got the bike, and stashed it beneath a tarp in the garage. It was supposed to be revealed tomorrow, his daughter's birthday. On payday a couple days ago, he went to the loan place and promptly repaid the loan. It was the shouting in the back room that got his attention. The clerk at the front desk, a strawberry blonde with blue eyes, looked at him, clearly worried. When loud banging replaced the shouting, Nate went through the short gate on the other side of the clerk's counter and headed back there. He didn't know what he was thinking. Perhaps his instinct to help others and preserve the peace took over. That was why he had tried out being a cop several years ago. He didn't make it through the testing and was devastated. Ended up having a Joe job at a cardboard box manufacturing joint across town. When he entered the back room, he was horrified to find some guy with his face planted against the desk, another guy standing behind him and bending his arm behind his back, the other holding a gun. What kind of place was this? He had thought these borrow-until-payday joints were safe. Who funded this place? He didn't want to know. The strength ran from his legs as the fight-or-flight instinct kicked in. The large man, the one with the gun, was on him before he could even take a breath to say something. A loud thud echoed inside his skull, and somewhere beyond the darkness a gun went off. He woke up at the dump. That was 2 days ago. Weak from no food or water, Nate tried once more to shove the fridge off himself. Nothing. No movement. It was hopeless. All he could do was wait out the night, again, and hope he could get someone's attention come morning. With nothing to do, he crossed his arms over his chest, shivered, and closed his eyes. He was tired as it was. Sleep would pass the time nicely. As he lay there, he let his mind wander to the morning. Someone would come. They'd get him out from under this fridge and, if his legs weren't damaged, he could make his way home and see his daughter on her birthday. See his wife, Dana. Dana. She must be worried sick right now. She would have called the police after he didn't return home the other night, and if for some reason she didn't, she most certainly would have called him the next day when he didn't get home from work. Were the cops looking for him now? How long did it take? Aren't police supposed to be some kind of superheroes and when someone was in trouble come to their rescue? Were the guys who did this to him mob-related? Did he tip off the cops to ignore any reports of a misty 40-something? It was impossible to know. Those guys had gotten the jump on him so quick. Letting out a scream that did little but temporarily make him feel better, Nate tried to relax and let sleep take him. The foul smell of the rotten garbage threatened to make him throw up again, but without having anything to put in his system for the past few days, he doubted he had anything left to yak out. And he hated the dry heaves, so he hoped this would calm him down either. Loose garbage rustled to his right. His eyes shot open, and he looked in that direction. Nothing but a Coke can, a heap of black garbage bags, some loose papers, and slime. He gazed back up at the sky, took a breath of the stinky night air, exhaled slowly, and closed his eyes again. More rustling, this time a thin plastic. He looked in the bags' direction. Between the shadows filling every nook and cranny and the black garbage bags themselves, it was impossible to see much of anything. He closed his eyes for all of 2 seconds before a series of little squeaks immediately made him snap open. He knew the sound. Mice. He'd had mice in his house before and heard them squeak and squeal whenever they got roiled up. As long as they don't come over here, then that's fine, he thought. Mice were relatively harmless. Leave them alone and left you alone. Don't touch them. They were dirty and carried disease. Simple. But it had been simple that got him into this mess. Knowing my luck, they'll start climbing all over me to check me out. Just don't breathe when they do. Lay still. Shut up, man. You're freaking yourself out. Nate waited for the squeaking and rustling to resume, but it never did. Finally calm enough to try and relax again, he closed his eyes and let himself doze off. Shortly after, the squeaking returned, and it sounded like more than one mouse this time, and it sounded louder. Nate froze. Just lay still. Mice weren't so bad, but the thought of them coming over to him and possibly crawling on him gave him the creeps. The garbage bags off to the side rustled again, and despite the shadows, he thought they moved slightly as well. That's when he saw the shadow dart out from between two bags, coming straight for him, leap over his chest, and disappear into a heap of refuse on the other side. "That was a big mouse," he whispered. All was quiet again until a short time later and the bag started making noise, louder and more forced. It sounded like something was in the bag instead of merely scampering around outside it. Nate watched the bag and, sure enough, it began to pulse, something the size of a fist punching against it from within. For the briefest moment, he thought it was a body, some poor schlub who had gotten himself in deep just like he had and, like him, had been condemned to imprisonment at the city dump. The garbage bag pulsed and shook, then went still. From the other side, more movement and the crunching of torn paper. A shadow almost as long as Nate's forearm darted from around one of the piles of junk and in behind another before reappearing again and running at him. Like the one before, it leaped over his chest and disappeared behind a mound of garbage bags. "That was no mouse," Nate said. "It was too big, at least a foot long. It was so hard to tell its exact size due to the limited lighting, but there was no way that was a run-of-the-mill mouse." The rapid light taps of something hitting the filth on the ground on his left caught his attention, and when he turned his head, he saw three large rats quickly bolting toward him. The three kept side by side, a parade of rodent pride. They slowed as they neared him, then stopped a mere 6 inches away. "Go on, get out of here," Nate screamed. The rats' bodies twitched at the noise, but they remained where they were. "I said get out of here." For a moment, he thought they would scamper off, but they didn't and instead came closer. One hopped onto his chest, which Nate quickly battered away. The little bugger nipped at his finger in the process, and the sharp pinch of its teeth piercing his skin caused him to call out. The second rat went straight for Nate's head, its tiny claws digging into its scalp. He swatted it away, cursing at it. The third was on his stomach, trying to dig through his shirt with its tiny claws. Nate went to strike it, but one of the rats he'd batted away had run back and got on his hand, biting into his skin. Nate's eyes widened from the sudden sharp pain. He shook his hand to get the rat off, but the thing had wrapped its furry little body around his palm so tight he had to use his other hand to pry it off. He ripped the rat away, tearing skin from his hand in the process. Bleeding, he readied for another attack. Two of the rats ran around him, as if scouting a new route of assault. They disappeared behind the fridge on his legs and reappeared on the top of it a moment later. He didn't know where the third went. The two rats jumped down and landed on him. He shot up, sitting upright, his hip bones pinned beneath the fridge, lighting up with a jolt of pain from the movement. The rats rolled down his chest and into his lap. A sudden, aching shot of numbness rushed through his lower limbs. Did he somehow just jostle the fridge and his fast-asleep legs had reacted to it? He pounded against the fridge with his fists, trying to make it move. It rocked a little, but that was all. The two rats nipped at his waist, biting through the band of his cotton pants. A sharp pinch sprouted up close to his gut, and he saw the third rat digging into his shirt with its teeth. With a grunt, Nate wrapped his fingers around the rat, squeezed it hard so it wouldn't escape his grip, and raised his hand high before bringing it down on the dirt beside him. The rat squealed on impact, its shrieks driving its comrades into a frenzy because they immediately went for the hand holding the rat. Were rats smart enough to come to an ailing rodent's rescue? He didn't care, and, ignoring the sharp pinches of rat teeth digging into his outer palm, he smashed the rodent against the dirt one more time for good measure. The creature didn't move when he let it go. He shook the other rat off his hand and readied himself to do the same to it and its friend when they got close enough. The two rats eyed him and then leaped. One came straight for his face and latched on with its claws. He yanked it off, squeezing the thing so hard he felt its tiny ribs crack beneath his fingers. Like the other, he brought his hand high and took the rat to task against the dirt, ending it. The final rat bit and clawed at his midsection. Swiftly, bringing his palms together in a harsh clap, he trapped the rat between his palms and crushed it. Bits of rodent guts and blood squirted out between his fingers. Sitting there, catching his breath from the ordeal, sharp pricks of pain dotted his upper body where the little buggers had bit him. Nate yelled at the night sky. "I can't believe this," he said. "Help!" The garbage dump was quiet. With a growl, he snapped out both palms and struck the fridge again, once more trying to move it. Like before, it rocked a little, but that was it. That fresh and harsh tingling sensation powered through his legs, and it felt like a full-blown onslaught of pins and needles. Had he actually moved the fridge enough to allow blood flow into his legs, thus a sensation? "Oh, please, let it be so," he said. He inhaled deeply, then uttered a loud exhale, coughing at the end of it. He listened intently for any more rats. "Don't come near me. I'll kill you." Mouth dry, he twisted his lips and rolled his tongue around inside his mouth, trying to conjure up some moisture. After so long without water, all he got was a tiny drop of saliva. He wanted to spit it out and dispel the foul taste in his mouth, but decided to conserve it. Every drop counted right now. The crunching of plastic made his ears perk up, same with the rustling of more garbage bags. "Oh no, not again," he said. The stench of rot made him wrinkle his nose and... what was that? A new smell? Something like a cross between a wet dog and rotten chicken. Loud thunks brought his attention in front of him. Standing over him on the top of the fridge was a large shadow. It looked like a cat. "Oh, good. You can chase the rats away," Nate said. The cat looked at him. There was something strange about its eyes. They didn't reflect the light like a cat's normally did. "Are you smart enough to get help?" he asked. "No, you're a cat. You can't understand a word I'm saying, can you?" Cats are useless. Beside the cat, two more shadows emerged, both a little smaller. "Kittens?" Despite being pinned by a giant fridge and having nearly been gnawed to pieces by a few rats, Nate felt bad for the strays looking down on him. Poor thing had to take care of itself and its young in the dump. "Sorry, don't got no food," he said. "Go on, look around here. I'm sure you'll find something. Probably sucks, whatever it is, but rotten fish is better than no fish, I suppose." The three shadows remained facing him. One turned its head and the light of the moon glinted off its onyx eye. Its face was far too long and narrow to be a cat's. Was that a pointy nose? It turned its head back and the moonlight caught it again. Its front teeth stuck out from beneath its top lip. "That's no cat," Nate said. How a rat got so big, he had no idea, and it didn't matter right now. As if the giant rodent knew he understood what it was, it leaped off the fridge and landed on his chest, knocking him flat on his back again. The thing weighed a solid 15 pounds or more. Baring its teeth, the rat hissed and shoved its face into his, biting his lip. It caught on and pulled hard, tearing a chunk of it away. Blood gushed onto his chin. The other two rats jumped off the fridge and landed on his stomach. Both slowly walked up his body. He suddenly felt like the three small rats that had come before were just a warning of the nightmare he was now forced to endure. The big rat dove in for another mouthful, this time punching its head through his clamped-shut mouth and biting Nate's tongue. Nate brought his fist in from the side and pounded on it. The thing pulled and pulled, tearing off a chunk of his tongue just as he knocked it off him. The other two ripped and clawed at his midsection, biting in and making quick work of tearing up his shirt. The warm trickles of blood leaked down either side of his body, their heat sending a quick wave of goosebumps through him before panic took over and heat encompassed his whole body. "Help!" he shrieked, blood bubbling out of his mouth. What was left of his tongue felt like it was on fire. His legs lit up with that same numb sensation as more and more rats piled on top of the fridge, their tiny body weights quickly adding up and putting more pressure on his legs. Nate opened his mouth to cry out for help again, but the big rat quickly silenced him as it darted in and made for his tongue once more. It buried its head deep in his mouth, causing him to cough and gag on its furry skull. The taste of it brought the little that was left in his stomach all the way to the top floor, filling up the back of his throat as he lay there, arms flailing, one rat biting and chomping at his tongue, two others eating away at his gut. The horde of rodents on top of the fridge dove off, cascading over the side of the fridge like a black, oily waterfall. They covered his body, their weight enough to cause him to panic even more, his arms now useless at his sides. Squeezing his eyes shut, letting loose a muffled scream against the rat in his mouth, his lungs pounding for air, Nate tried to sit up, but couldn't muster the strength to do it. Sharp pains shot through his flesh with each bite the rats took. His heart ran at 100 miles a minute, drumming so hard it filled his ears. Warm blood coated his limbs, ran down his sides, oozed out of his mouth, and he knew he was moments away from passing out. The tiny shrieks and squeaks of the rats reached a cacophony of squealy sound. From behind, a dog barked, hoarse and loud. The rats squealed and their weight began to dissipate off him. The one in his mouth was yanked out, and when Nate opened his eyes, he saw through blurry vision a big brown and black German shepherd making quick work of the enormous rat between its powerful jaws. Heavy footfalls rose up behind him, boots crunching on the dirt. They stopped. "Hey, fella, you all right?" Nate's eyes were so filled with tears and blood he could hardly see the older gentleman in the baseball cap looming over him. Nate tried to speak out, but only blood gurgled out between his lips. His lungs ached for air, and the most he could manage were small sips through his nostrils. "What happened here?" the old man said slowly. The dog growled. The old man must have noticed the fridge and shone his flashlight at it. "You mean you're trapped under there?" Nate could barely nod his head. The old man went over to the fridge. "Do you want I should push it?" He wanted to tell the old man he tried. He tried for 2 days and couldn't get the thing to move. Where was this old man over the past 48 hours? Was he midnight security and had missed Nate somehow? Did the chorus of wild squeaks tip him off that something was going down in a forgotten corner of the garbage dump? The old man pushed against the fridge, rocking it. Nate didn't think it was a good idea. If his legs were broken beneath, moving the fridge would only make things worse. Then again, he had tried moving it himself. Besides, he could barely feel anything except the occasional rush of pain. The old man rounded to the far side of the fridge and opened its door. All Nate could do was make out something from the other side. He heard, "Oh, son. Oh, no. There's this hole here, and..." Rats poured out of the fridge, climbing out over the sides, landing on the ground to the left and right. Through hazy vision, Nate watched as the swarm drew closer and closer to him. The big dog growled and barked at the rats. The rodents didn't back down. The old man came round about the fridge, stomping on the ground, squishing some of them under his heel and bouncing around like a man riding a bull. Plastic bags rustled. More shadows crept in from the sides. Others scampered down the mounds of garbage like a cavalry coming down to do battle in the valley. The dog swiped and pawed at the rats. They climbed up the canine's body and mounted its back. Others climbed up the old man's legs. He ran over to Nate, shoved the flashlight into his mouth, and squatted down behind him. "We gotta get you out of here, son." He scooped his arms under Nate's shoulders and started to pull, apparently ignoring the rats climbing and coiling up his legs. Nate wanted to call out, tell him to stop, that he was crazy to try and just simply pull him out from under the fridge. The words never came. His mouth was too swollen and too full of blood to even talk. More and more rats poured out from between the mounds of garbage, covering Nate and the old man like bees over a honeycomb. The old man pulled, and Nate heard a wet rip come from somewhere down by his legs. He didn't have to see to know what happened. The fridge, the rats, The hole, the old man said, was in the fridge. The rats had somehow gotten inside and ate straight through his legs. The weight of the fridge had cut off his circulation, maybe even acted like some kind of weird tourniquet, numbing the whole thing except for the occasional nerve flare-up. Now, with his body torn almost in two, it would just be moments until... The old man had stopped pulling, and Nate heard a thud behind him. He wanted to ask. Are you okay? But he knew he wouldn't get a reply. The rats had gotten to the old man. The dog. Nate couldn't see the dog anymore. He couldn't see much of anything anymore. Just shadows. Just oily, furry, squeaking shadows. All over his body. Dizziness crept in, and he couldn't see anything. He'd be dead soon. The blood loss would force him to pass out any moment. In the meantime, all he could do was feel the rats biting into him, eating him, turning him into some kind of landfill buffet. All right, story behind the story time. So yeah, so what we heard was from an anthology called Rat War. And of course, as per the title, we know what the theme is. So yeah, this was done on invite. I was invited by the editor, Anthony Gian Gregorio, to write a rat story, a rat horror story, obviously. And, you know, at the time that I was asked, you know, I was deep doing like the standard monster stuff. I was doing like, you know, the zombies and the werewolves and stuff. And so the concept of doing a horror story based on rats never was in my head at all. But then he mentioned it, and especially at the time, because I was so involved with, you know, my own personal monster work, but also the monster work of others, because I was a traditional publishing at the time. It was actually doing a story about a rat was actually like a breath of fresh air for me after being immersed in that monster world for so long. As fun as they are, and as much as I love monsters, you know, you need to come up for air every so often, right? So yeah, so this invite was just that coming up for air. So when I wrote this story, you know, I didn't know quite how do you make a horror story with rats that's not cliche or weird, or, you know what I mean? Like something that the reader would go, over. And I'm not saying that my story is fantastic, but what I'm saying is simply I tried to come up with an idea that would work, that would turn into a horror tale, that would give the victim a plausible, even though fantastic, but plausible circumstance upon which to endure some rat horror, right? And look at it, guys, we did it again. I mean, as per a previous podcast, when we talked about fears, and mine apparently is claustrophobia, because but we went over the claustrophobic thing, because I could go into like an elevator, I'm fine. I could go a tight stairwell, I'm fine. It's the idea of being trapped and not getting out. That's the problem. I mean, when I have dreams like that, like nightmares, that's sometimes a circumstance where I'm stuck, right? And no matter what I do, I'm stuck where I am, right? And that's why it kind of fed into this book here, into Rat War with the Landfill Buffet, was that, again, that concept of you're being trapped. There's nothing you can do. You've tried what you can do, and it doesn't work. And, you know, you're only human, right? So you only have so much strength, only so much intelligence, and so many that, especially in a panic situation, of course, your thought process is going to be different as well. But the thing is, the idea of being trapped and now being eaten. And I was hoping, my hope was, I mean, I don't know if I succeeded, guys, you can let me know in the comments, but at the end, when he gets, you know, pulled away from the fridge and basically he's been eaten through, waist down more or less, I was hoping that would be a bit of a surprise, you know. I hope people were simply maybe expecting squished legs or broken legs or something along those lines. But yeah, to the idea that the rats were eating him the whole time, but he wasn't aware because of the weight on his legs. I hope that was a bit of a twist ending. Not a jolt twist, but maybe something, oh, hey, you know, that kind of thing. So that was also the aim with that, was to kind of give that little ending with a little bit of a hopeless, well, we tried, we almost won, kind of, and then it was all for naught. I mean, but that's what makes horror stories horror, right? Like, in my opinion, horror stories that end on the happy ever after note, Sometimes I'll admit, yes, it's good to have that because throughout the ordeal of the story, it's been so brutal that it actually is nice to see the happy ending. But at the same time, too, I mean, the horror stories I like the most are when the bad guy wins. And in this case, we're talking rats, but this could apply to any type of monster or villain or serial killer or pick your bad guy, right? But the thing is, too, though, is when you have a bad guy win, from a writing perspective, at least to me, I like to do it where you try to have them win in a unique way, right? Like you have this them win in a way where they already won from the start, right? And you've been toyed with this whole time, and no matter what you do, no matter how you react, even no matter who comes to your rescue, all that stuff's been pre-calculated. And there's contingencies for all those things, and ultimately, in the end, you're still screwed, and the bad guy wins. I mean, I guess that's my draw to the Saw movies is the fact that everything is pre-thought out, and bad guy always wins. Even though we could talk about John Kramer a separate time, because I view him more as an anti-hero, like extreme anti-hero, but that's another discussion. But the point is, yeah, like these stories, horror stories. I think the impact on endings for horror stories. Is if you can do the happily ever after, you better well have earned it. Otherwise, end on a gloom. And then that way, it has an impact for the reader or the listener in this case, and it kind of maybe lingers with them for a little bit after the story prior to moving on with their day. So, anyway, I hope I entertained you with Landfill Buffet. It was actually just a fun little title to, I think I came up with the title first once I came up with the concept. But yeah, I like that title, Landfill Buffet. That's pretty cool. But anyway, hope you enjoyed the story. Okay, and stick around till after the credits, because of course we're gonna have a little bonus as we always do. So I'll see you there. And we're back after the credits. Dun, dun, dun. All right. Actually, this message is for you, dear listener. Okay. I want to say thank you for listening. And the reason I want to say thank you is not your general thanks. The reason I'm going to explain why. Okay. Doing this podcast, when we started in season one, it was my first podcast. Okay. So I did my best to have a format to the show, give you the story time. And of course, then we entered into season two. We adjusted the show format. Portion, and we got basically more or less, hi, how are you? And then right into story time. And I appreciate all of you who have been listening since day one, or even picked up somewhere along the way, and have allowed me the opportunity to call it Find My Podcast Voice. I'm not saying it's 100% found at the moment, but it's gotten better, I think, upon listening to other episodes and seeing how they went and that sort of stuff. I think we've kind of gotten past the stumbling stage of the walk, and now we're kind of crawling our way, and hopefully soon we'll be able to stand and begin walking like normal. So for those of you who have been listening and who have been tuning in week after week for a story and have allowed me to progress in terms of delivering a better podcast experience with each episode, at least I hope that's what's been happening. I just want to say thank you for that. I want to say thank you for your patience because, any creator, any medium, it takes time, right? Like you have to find your voice in whatever you're practicing, and you can only do that by doing it, right? And then once your voice is found, then you're kind of smooth sailing going forward. But until then, yeah, you kind of have to bring your readers or your audience with you to see that transformation, to see that progression, to see that adjustment, that sort of thing. And so, yeah, I just, again, it means a lot to me because I understand that we live in a society where we want top-notch product all the time, super pro, super this, super that. And when you take the time to set that part aside of our consumeristic society and just listen to somebody trying their best to do what they want to do for you, and that is entertain you, and just giving them the time of day, that's very kind on your part and very generous and very empathetic, actually. And that's a special trait. So don't lose that. That's important. Okay. Keep that for life. Always keep that for life because everybody needs a second chance. Everybody needs a third chance. Everybody needs a fourth chance. We're human. That's how it is. So thank you so much again for allowing me to progress, to grow. And I hope that you stick around for further episodes because the goal is to keep growing and to keep getting better and to become more entertaining and just to progress and progress and progress until we have something dynamite in the end. So thank you. God bless you. And we'll see you next week for another story in the realm of heroes and monsters, story time.